If you have your Bibles, if you could turn to 1 Corinthians, please, chapter 12. And we'll read down the portion from verse 1 to 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that we were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honourable, upon these we bestow more abundant honour. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honour to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Verse 26, I'll just finish there. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honoured, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Amen. We know that the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word. Our Father, we do pray that you'll just bless thy word to all our hearts. And O God, you will do us good this morning as we turn to the scriptures. We thank thee that we have the scriptures of truth. What a wonderful thing, Father, to have thy word. And Lord, we rejoice in this, that we have the living abiding word of God. We thank thee for all those who gave their lives that we might have the Holy Scriptures. We thank thee for this old authorized version that we love so dearly. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless us as we return to the Holy Scriptures and enlighten our minds, and grant that every soul here will be blessed. Remember Mrs. Paisley this morning again. We do pray that thy hand will be upon her and that thou will bless her. And dear Dr. Paisley too, at this time we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Just for a few moments this morning, I was thinking of the people in the scriptures that are mentioned by name. And you know that the Lord mentions many people by name in the Holy Scriptures. And of course, all his disciples were known by name. But there are those two that in the scriptures that are not mentioned by name. And I had noted down a few of them previously, and just a little message on them. And I do pray this morning that it might be a blessing to you. I often wondered, why does God mention some by name and not mention others? Now, there may be different reasons, of course, but I often think it's, one thing is this, because you and I, many of us are known maybe some of us will be known quite publicly, and there are others, there are those, of course, are always to the fore in the work of God that will be known well. But there are others that are just behind the scenes and labouring on, who are maybe not known much by name, but you know, the Lord knows them, and the Lord loves His people. And we're all labourers together with Christ, and that's why I read that portion in Corinthians. And it's very important, I believe, that we understand that. And some, as I say, just as the scripture said about the body, the head cannot say to the feet, I have no need of thee. And then it goes on to say that there are those parts of the body which seem to be less effective or less known and not much concerned with, but yet they're so important. And the whole body of Christ, of course, ought to work together. And each one of us have a work to do, and each one of us are loved by the Lord, redeemed by His own blood, and we're set apart for Him. And I'd just like to look at a few portions this morning, and I pray that you will just bear with me. Mark 14, 13 to 15. These portions are quite well known, but just little things we can draw from it. Mark 14, 13 to 15, I'll read the portion out. And Jesus sendeth forth two of His disciples, and saith unto them, Go into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good man of the house, The master saith, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There make ready for us. And his disciples went forth and came into the city, and found even as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And Luke, of course, 22, 10 to 13, gives you that. Also, Luke 22, verses 10 to 13. And it says these words, And Jesus said unto them, Behold, when you are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in, and ye shall say unto the good man of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. And they went, and found even as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. It was to the good man of the house that the Lord sent his disciples, and they said, You'll meet this man carrying a pitcher of water. Some have said, now that's strange, because it was usually the women were carrying the pitcher of water, but here was a man carrying a pitcher of water. And he went into this house, and the Lord told him, You just go into the house and say to the good man of the house that the master has sent us for the room is to be furnished. And you know, here was a man, and I was just put down there, he was in communion with the Saviour, this good man of the house. He knew his Lord, for he was certainly in communion with Christ. Because the Lord said He has everything ready. And isn't it good to know that you and I, maybe some of us is saying not well known, yet you can be in communion with the Lord every day. You can hear His voice through the scriptures, and the Lord communes with His people. And here was one man who was truly in communion with the Lord, unknown, his name is not mentioned, and yet his ear was open to the voice of God. His ear was open to his master, and indeed he understood perfectly. And when the disciples came, these two disciples, he had everything ready. And it said he had reserved the room for the Savior. He kept a place for Christ. Is there a place in your heart? Is there a special place for the Savior in your heart and mine? Do we seek to hear His voice every day? Do we seek to follow Him and obey His word? It is good to know that our ears are open to Him, and that we hear His voice, and that is a wonderful thing. So no matter who you are, you're His child, and that should be our standing with Him. The Lord was able to send two of His disciples to a little place unknown to them, and yet one of His people had prepared everything because he had heard His master's voice. And the disciples went, and then they were to make it ready. You know, it's lovely, and there was this working together, as the Lord always has His people working together. And it's good when we work together and not against each other. And indeed, here was the blessing that these disciples went, found this man prepared of God, used of the Lord, who had his ear open to the Master, and he knew what he had to do. and everything was ready. Isn't it lovely too that our Saviour, doesn't it show indeed that he is supreme, that he is Christ, he's God, that he knew everything. He said, you're going to see a man with a pitcher of water and he'll have everything. You follow him into the house and everything will be well. You know, the Lord knows all things. He knows everything about his people, and thank God he cares for them. So you bear that in mind, please. Then there's another lovely little portion, John 6 and 9. These are to the children. These would probably be one of the most familiar portions of Scripture. John 6 and 39, a well-known portion of the Bible. Sorry, John 6 and 9. And we'll just read from verse 4, please, of John chapter 6. And the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to his disciples, the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Now here's a miracle, and it's wonderful that this is the only gospel that it's told about the young lad. It's mentioned in Matthew, Mark, and Luke about the miracle. This miracle is mentioned in all the gospels, but this is the only gospel that mentions about the young lad. A little, if I could use the term, maybe an insignificant little boy in all that crowd seemed to be so insignificant, and yet the Lord knew what he was going to do. He knew that there was a lad there, because of course he had already prepared it. And that little child brought his lunch and offered it to the disciples, who he knew would go to the Saviour. And one of the disciples says to the Lord, there is a lad here, but which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are they among so many? And you know, it shows us that the Lord knows everything. And a little child, and yet he used him. No name mentioned, yet the Lord used this little child. And you know, the Lord can use children. And a little child who had his ear open, his heart open, and who was willing to give us lunch. Now, I'm sure if you know children, and I have some, I've raised 3 ourselves, Eunice and I, but we've also some grandchildren. I know this, when they have something, some of them don't like to give it up too much. You try to take something of a little child, you know you could have trouble in your hands. But yet here was a young lad whose heart the Lord had opened, and he was willing to give his lunch. He gave what he had to the Saviour, and the Saviour took it from him, used it, and blessed it. And look what blessing it brought. Because when it was used and given to all those, and everybody ate to their full, there was much over. And the Lord said, gather it all up, that nothing be lost. Because nothing that God blesses can be lost. And the Lord blessed that, and used that which the little child gave. And you and I should remember that we mightn't have much in life, but what we have to give to the Lord. We have to lay ourselves open for him and seek to live for him. Our lives are all, because he is the master. And the Lord indeed has given us many things. And didn't the psalmist say, of thine own have we given thee. And God blessed this young boy. And remember the Lord Jesus, and this is the chapter where, this is the book, John's Gospel, where Christ is set forth as the Lord of glory, as the Son of God. And here the Son of God takes this little gift from a little boy and uses it mightily. Only he could do that. And only God can take you and I. There was nothing really, was it? Like, I mean, it was enough for the little child, but yet God blessed it and used it mightily. And you know, God can take you and I. We're nothing. We're nobodies. yet he can take us and he can use us mightily, and he can use what we have, and he uses the little child because the child was willing. And there is a lad here. Love that wee phrase. There is a lad here. So wee boy had told him that he was wanted to give this to the Saviour. And the Lord, of course, knew and had prepared the child's heart, and God blessed it. So remember that God can bless that which we give to him. And then there's another one not so well known, Acts chapter 23, 16-24. Well known portion, Acts 23. Well known portion in Acts, but maybe not so well spoken on. Paul's nephew, verse 16. And when Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, that was the Jews who had sworn to kill Paul, they would neither eat nor drink until they had killed him. He went and entered into the castle, that is the nephew, and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, bring this young man unto the chief captains, for he hath a certain thing to tell him. So he took him and brought him to the chief captain and said, Paul the prisoner called me unto him and prayed me to bring this young man unto thee, who hath something to say unto thee. Then the chief captain took him by the hand and went with him aside privately and asked him, what is it that thou hast to tell me? And he said, the Jews have agreed to desire thee that thou wouldst bring down Paul tomorrow into the council, as though they would inquire somewhat of him more perfectly. But do not thou yield unto them, for they're lying wait of him, for him, of them more than 40 men, which have bound themselves with an oath that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. And now are they ready, looking for a promise from thee. And you know, the chief captain arranged, he sent for his captain, and he organized there and then a great deliverance for Paul. And as you know, he sent almost like an army away with Paul, that he might be set free and he might be delivered from those who wanted to kill him. Here was a young lad, Paul's nephew, unknown, and yet the words that he spoke brought forth salvation to Paul. You know, they brought deliverance to Paul. And if he had kept his mouth closed, well, maybe the Lord would have raised something from another area. But you know, because of what he'd said, this young man delivered the great apostle. And he was able to tell the chief captain of this Roman army what was going to happen. And he brought deliverance to the man of God. It's what he heard, and then he spoke. And you know, you and I have a message. We have a message of salvation. And when God moves us and uses us, we can speak that word that will bring deliverance to people, can open their hearts to the Savior, and cause them to look to Christ and be born again of His Spirit. And this young man, as I say, he brought deliverance in this way to Paul. And what a deliverance he brought him, because truly if the chief captain had brought him down, not realizing there were so many lying in wait, Paul would have most likely been killed. But of course God had other plans. And here was a young man, unknown to any, but known to God. And God used this young man to deliver Paul from those who were going to kill him. And you know, isn't it good that God can use each one of us? And don't ever forget it. You may think, oh, but I can't do anything, I can't speak. You can do something for the Lord, because the portion we've read makes it so clear that God has you and I in the work for a purpose. And He can use us and does use each one of us. And all what we have to do is to yield ourselves to Him and ask the Lord to use us. And God indeed will make us a blessing. And then Luke 19, another portion. Luke 19, another, not just so familiar, 29 to 36 chapter. Luke 19, another thing that the Savior done. Verse 29. And it came to pass, when Jesus was come nigh to Bethpage and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, He sent two of His disciples, saying, go ye into the village over against you, in the which that you're entering, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him, and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way, and found even as He had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, "The Lord hath need of him." And they brought him to Jesus. They cast their garments upon the coat, and they set Jesus thereon. And you know, here was a lovely thing. We all know it well. The Lord uses a colt, this little animal, to carry him into Jerusalem. And you know, that lovely wee word, "The Lord hath need of him." And you know, you and I, God hath need of us. Do you ever think that you're not needed? Do you maybe think because maybe your health is not so good, "Well, my health is gone now, I can do nothing for the Lord"? Don't you believe it? The Lord hath need of you. You can pray. And how often God's saints praying helps the work. You know, it really does. I think every one of God's people that are certainly to the fore know and experience the help of God with the prayers of God's people. And here, the Lord hath need of him. The Lord hath need of you. Don't you ever think that you're finished because you're on in years. The Lord hath need of you, and God can use you. Here was an animal that we maybe call a dumb animal, and yet the Lord used this animal, and this animal carried the Savior. You know, God can use you still. And don't you ever think that you're finished. Well, none of us are finished until the Lord calls us home. And when he calls us home, then our work here is finished. But the Lord hath need of you. And remember that, dear saint of God, that the Lord can use you. You may seem so insignificant, but God can use you. And he does use his people. And as I said before, it's committing ourselves to him. It's yielding ourselves to him. It's making ourselves available for him. I'll never forget the woman in Newcastle one day that took time to speak to me. I've often said it. I've never seen her again. I've never met her since. But on the 14th of July, 1964, she took time to talk to a young fellow who just got off his bike in the Newcastle Park. Tell me about the Savior. Warn me that if I died without Christ, that I would be lost. Old enough to be my mother, but yet in 4 days' time, God brought forth the fruit and saved my soul. Through that woman was really through her testimony. Tell me again about the Coleman's mission, where I went that Saturday night and the Lord saved me. And you know, I've never seen her, as I say, but God used her little word. God can use you. God does use his people. And then lastly, a portion of love, so well known, 2 Kings chapter 5. Well known, I'm sure, to us all, but so beautiful a portion of Scripture. A little maid. Verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honourable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valour, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies, and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And you know the story, how that through that little maid's testimony, this great man was delivered from leprosy and set free. And you know, she could have been so, angry, because here she was brought into a strange country, made a captive, kidnapped, brought away from loved ones. She could have been angry and bitter against the Lord, but she was not. And she was a faithful child of God. And in these circumstances, she witnessed. And you know, sometimes the circumstances might not be pleasant, but yet she believed that God was with her. She was brought into this home, so I'm sure she was well looked after too. She could have been brought somewhere else, but she was brought into this very place, and she saw this man's need. And my, you know what she said, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria." She had feeling for this man. She understood, and she longed to see him delivered. And she told him about a great deliverance that he could have. You know, it's wonderful, because nobody was ever delivered from cancer before, because the Lord Jesus says that in this day the only one that was delivered was Naaman. And yet she had this faith to believe that if this man were with the prophet Elisha, that he could be healed. And she told him this message. Who led her to say that but the Lord? And indeed, she was blessed of God, and God used her. Yet she was unknown. Her name is not known. She was just a little maid, a little servant girl. You and I are servants. May we serve the Lord faithfully, and may we see what God can do, because you know He can do great things. The Lord uses His people, and God can bless His people. And thank God He used this little maid. And you know, when Naaman was delivered, I'm sure when he got back home, I'm sure he thanked that young girl and all that she'd done for him. So, believer, I pray that these few thoughts today will be an encouragement to you, that you might know that you may not be the fore in God's work, but you're very important to the Lord, and you have to do that work for Him. And if we do it for Him, God will bless it, and He will use us each one, because we're all members of His body. And you know, one day there'll be rewards given out, and our eyes will be opened to many people that we thought, didn't think they'd done that. Because people do things, you know, and never say a word, and the God sees it. The Lord sees all things. He knows all things. He knew about the colt. He knew about the good man of the house. He knew about this little maid when He brought her to Naaman's house captive, and yet she was still in touch with her master. No bitterness towards those that had kidnapped her. What a marvel. Yet God used her and blessed her. I pray these few thoughts will be a blessing to you.